All right, we are holding on Lamed Samad Aleph at the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Mitzvah begadol liyabim. The ideal mitzvah is that the eldest brother should be doing the yibum. We learned from the second parak that when the pasuk says v'hayab chur, we don't teach the pasuk according to its literal sense that the bechor that she bears will be named after the brother. Rather, v'hayab chur teaches us that the bechor is the one who's supposed to be doing yibum, or chalitza, as the case may be. Lo rotza, if he doesn't want to, mahalchen al kol achen, and they start circulating around among all the brothers to see if any of them is willing to. Lo rotzu, if none of them want either, chos v'neitzo gadol, and they go back to the eldest brother, roimim loy, and they tell him, listen, alacha mitzvah, you got the mitzvah, oy chaloitzo yabin, you got to do one or the other. Tala b'kotzen ad shiyagil. Now what happens, suppose that he says, you know what, I don't want to do it, but there is a katan over here, let's wait until he grows up. Now, there's two possibilities what we mean by katan over here. Rashi says it means a katan in the simple sense, as in a minor, below by mitzvah. So he's saying, I'm not willing to do it, but look, you have him. When he gets older, he may be willing to do it. So let her wait for him. Other mepharshim say that no, the ritual, I think it is, brings from Tosfos. It's not an all-printed Tosfos over here, but a different version of Tosfos, I guess, that cotton over here doesn't mean a boy below bar mitzvah, because that's part of the question, actually. There's a discussion. First of all, if he's below 9, there's no question. He can't do yibum. But if he's between 9 and 13, the question is it that he can't do yibum at all? We know, the Gemara mentions, we're going to have later in the Masechta, that the bia of a cotton from 9 and up is the equivalent of maimer by a gadol, meaning that it's not a full yibum. The question is that the case even min haTorah, or min haTorah would it be a real full yibum and only midrabanan, we downgrade it as if it was maimer?
9 and 13.
Yes. That's the question over here. That gets into the question over here, whether we say that in our mission a katan means a katan as in a minor, or whether it means katan simply means a younger brother, not the eldest brother, but this younger brother is also over by mitzvah. Anyway. Or he says, it depends, let's make it depend on a gadol, which again could be the two possibilities. Either it means one of the other, here gadol means the eldest brother. Until he comes from overseas. So the eldest brother, let's say, is overseas. So right now, you have, for example, a bunch of brothers. You have Reuben, Shimon, and Levi, let's say. And Yehuda, let's say, is the one who died. So Reuben, by rights, should be the one to do Yibum, but Reuben, let's say, is out of town in a faraway country, so then it goes to the next eldest one who is here, Shimon. Suppose that Shimon is saying, you know what, I don't want to do it, but look, let's wait till Reuben gets back from his trip and let him do it. Or suppose you have that one of the brothers is a cheresh or a shoita. Which, again, there's two possibilities what that means. Either it means they're saying, okay, he's a cheresh, but he might recover from his deafness, and that he'll be capable of doing yibum or chalitza. Or the possibility is that Tosfos says that no, it means even, let's say, for example, one of the other brothers says, I don't want to do it, but look, we have a brother who's a cheresh, why don't you get him to do it? You can't allow that the mission is going to continue. You don't allow any of these things because it's up to her. You can't force her to marry a Yavam that she would not want to marry. She, most likely, is not going to want to marry a Cheresh. She'd rather marry a normal, healthy person.
So, question remains. If a Cheresh, if she's accepting him...
If she accepts him, then fine. But
it's fine.
Yes, but we're talking about if she does it. We learned back in the first tariff that Ein Chosmin, so that if a Yavama has an objection to the Yavam, a reasonable objection to marrying him, then we don't force her. So over here, this would be considered a reasonable objection.
Right. As opposed to the cotton, we say, no, he's not capable.
So that's the question, again, whether we mean cotton, whether we mean a minor, or whether we just mean a younger brother. It could even be we mean a younger brother, because it's still the elder brother has the mitzvah to do it. In all these cases, in Shemin Lo, we don't pay any attention to what he says. Al Omrim Lo, no, we tell the eldest brother or the eldest one who's there, whatever, Lechon, Alacha Mitzvah, Echaloit, Yabim. You got to do it. You can't fob it off on somebody else.
What about the fact of tying this woman up forever?
That's the point. Eventually, we have to go to the gadol and force them to do something or other.
There's no time limit? Time for a yibum?
Technically, no. It's going to be however long it takes.
A technical thing that my teacher Hoya, I know there's someone who husband died suddenly. Yeah, I'm right there. Suddenly, you know, in the car or whatever. Yeah, like that. And with a younger brother who was 3 years old. So,
well, that's different. We know that until he's bar mitzvah, nothing can happen anyway.
Yeah, but he had to wait for the baby cider.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, okay, yeah, I mean, three handler was telling us something similar the other day. Yeah, unfortunately, that happens sometimes. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about where there are brothers available who are old enough, but they're trying to fob it off on each other. Eventually, if none of the younger brothers want to do it, then you got to force the older one to do something, either chalitza or yibum.
So the base team.
What's the problem making for them make chalitza? What's the big deal? What are they need?
Okay, look, you know, it could happen for whatever reason. They don't want to. Maybe they want to keep their options open. Maybe, you know. You hear of cases, and you find them a lot in the Shilas Atrubas literature, where the only surviving brother is Mumer, is a Meshumad. Now, there are actually, we talked about before, when we talked about the question of does a Jew always stay a Jew, there were some of the Gaonim who held that, in fact, a Meshumad is, for these kinds of purposes, no longer considered a Jew. If his wife stayed Jewish, for example, she didn't shmadza, and then he dies, she doesn't need, and he dies childless, she doesn't need chalitza or yibum. Conversely, he can't do chalitza or yibum to it. That's not the halacha, though. The halacha is like many other Rishonim argued with the Gaonim on that, and they said, no, a Yid always stays a Yid. So, yeah, you have cases where unfortunately, she's stuck with a Meshumad to have to give a chalitza, and getting him to agree to it is, of course, no small thing. Sigmar says, we'll talk about it more on Omid Beis. Rashi mentioned something about that. Itmar, they said there's a discussion among the Amoraim as follows. If we have a question between Bias Katan and Chalitzas Gadol, you have the Katan's Bia versus the Gadol's Chalitza. Which one is better? Now, actually, you know what? Let me I made a mistake. When I said before tell of a katan in the Mishnah, and I was saying the two possibilities, that means either a katan as in a child or a katan as in a younger brother. No, in the Mishnah, there's no question. It means a katan mamish, Rashi says. Here in the Gemara,
meaning
below nine. And so he's saying, wait till he grows up. You don't make him do that. You tell him, listen, you can't make her wait all those years. You go ahead and do it. But here we're talking about if you have, the older brother wants to do chalitza, and then you have a younger brother who wants to do yibum. Now here you have the two possibilities, what katan means over here. Does it mean a katan as in below 13, or does it mean a katan as in a younger brother? No, that's what we're talking about. That's why we're not saying, that we're saying Itmar. It's a related case to the Mishnah. Pligi brought Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Yisrael ben Levi. So they argue about that. Chadom abiyas katan adifa. One says that the bia of the katan would be better. So yes, let him go ahead and do yibum. If we say by katan we mean a younger brother, then we understand that. His yibum is a full yibum anyway, even though it's not the preferable way to do it. If we mean a katan as in below bar mitzvah, again, then you get into the question of whether that yibum at least works on a midoraita level. And the other one says, no, the chalitza of the elder brother would be better. Even though he only wants to do chalitza, it's still better to have him do that.
We're not asking what's better. We're asking about...
No, what's better? In other words, you have that Reuven, the eldest brother, only wants to do chalitza. He doesn't want to do yibum.
Right.
Shimon, a younger brother, according to either of these possibilities, is willing to do yibum.
Right.
What do we do? Do we say, in that case, fine, let Shimon go ahead and do yibum? Or do we say to Reuven, no, it's up to you. You got to do something. And only if Reuven completely refuses to do it, either chalitza or yibum, then we start circulating. Me and the elder brother, yeah.
Doesn't the oldest brother have the right for yibum first? And let's say he doesn't want to. Doesn't he have the right to do chalitza? Right?
No, but that's what we're saying. We're saying he doesn't want to do yibum. He wants to do chalitza. But then we have a younger brother who's willing to do yibum. So what do? Should we say then, okay, forget about it, you older brother, you only want to do chalitza, go away. We'll just go to Shimon or whichever younger brother it is, and he'll do yibum. Or do we say, no, the elder brother has to do something. If he doesn't want to do yibum or chalitza, fine, then we'll start going around to the brothers. But if he's willing to do chalitza, maybe that should take precedence.
So that implies that the younger brother's yibum would be valid.
Well, of course it would be valid. There's no question.
It's not a question. He's just a younger brother.
Well, that's the question. Even if we understand that he's a cousin, meaning as a child, still, you know, there is the possibility at least that his yibum is valid on some level. It's at least considered like minor, and maybe even midoraita, it's considered full yibum. So mandam abiyas katan adifa, the one who says that the bia of the katan during the yibum is better, it's not mitzvah b'yibum, because after all, the more preferable mitzvah is to do yibum. Or mandam achalitza gadol adifa. The one who says the chalitza of the gadol is better, because he says v'makom gadol abiyas katan ma'klumi. When you have a gadol available, when you have the eldest brother available to do something, then the bia of the katan is nothing. Not meaning nothing, but in other words, it's not the right way to do the mitzvah.
Also implies that you don't need full maturity to do a yibum.
No, that's the thing. In order to do a yibum that's completely valid of both midaraisa and midrabanan, there's no question. Like Rabbi Castell just said, you need to be 13. You need to have shtei sairus. But we're talking about over here, according to the explanation, that cotton over here means so Rashi specifically over here says it means not a cotton, because a cotton can't be doing chalitza and yibum. But other like I said, as the Ritva quotes that there's a possibility that it may mean a cotton.
Real cotton.
A real cotton. And then we'd be saying, because his yibum at least is valid on some level, as opposed to the gadol is going to do only chalitza. So the Gemara says, let's consider, what does our Mishnah say? If he doesn't want to, if the eldest brother doesn't want to do it, then we go around to all the brothers. What does it mean he doesn't want to? The assumption means he doesn't want to do Yibum, because that's the Mishnah started off. Mitzvah begadol Yabim, lo rotza machzirin akolachin. Lo rotza sounds like it means if he doesn't want to do Yibum, but he's willing to do Chalitza. And yet we say we go around to the brothers. That's the machlokas we're having over here. Is yibum? That's the question. If this katan is willing to do yibum, does that take precedence over the gadol chalitza? Now the Mishnah. Where again? Let's. The Mishnah said lo yrotza machzirin akol achin. The eldest brother is supposed to do yibum. If he doesn't want to, you go around to the brothers. Lo yrotza sounds like he doesn't want to do yibum. My love, led up to the Yavim Elalachlis. It sounds like he doesn't want to do Yibum, but he is willing to do Chalitza, and yet, the Katani Mahalchan Etzelachan. And yet, the Mishnah says you go around to the other brothers asking who's willing to do Yibum.
If the older does Chalitza with this woman,
then obviously she'll be out to all of them. We're not talking about
all of them.
Yeah,
we're going to Mavaz the Mitzvah Yibum.
Yeah.
Right?
That's,
we said before that we don't want to Mavaz
the Mitzvah. Well, that's maybe the question, So shmamina bias katan adifa. So that sounds like the bia of the katan would be better.
Okay.
Given that you have somebody who's willing to do yibum, even though he's a younger brother,
right,
then it sounds like the Mishnah is saying you should go ahead.
Right.
And the answer is loy. Loy rotza lachlitz v'loy liyabim. No, what it means is the older brother doesn't want to do either chalitza or yibum. In that case, then fine, you say fine. Forget about him. Let's see if any of the other brothers is willing to do anything. But if he just wanted to do chalitza, maybe the Mishnah would still be saying he should go do chalitza because it's still mitzvah. It's still a mitzvah for the eldest brother to do whatever it is. Okay, but that the Torah gives you
preferable.
Because the Torah gives you yibum and the Torah gives you chalitza. So if the eldest brother, if the hayav chur is not willing to do yibum, then the next thing is he should do chalitza.
That is contradicts directly what we said previously.
We said previously that other things being equal, we don't want to be mevatel the mitzvah of Yibum. But here it's not other things being equal, because v'ha yehav
chor. So you're saying...
I'm not saying, the Gemara is saying.
The Gemara is saying that the Yibum of the other brother is less than the...
That's what we're saying. That's the possibility. That we have the machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yisrael ben Levi. One of them is saying that, yes, the eldest brother doing chalitza is more preferable than a younger brother doing Yibum. Okay, the Gemara asks the Kavasar Gabe Achen. Okay, well, in that case, then let's see what would be the parallel case with the brothers. What are you saying? If you're saying that Lo Rotza means that the elder brother doesn't want to do anything, so what are we saying then? You go around to the brothers, and we said Lo Rotzu, they didn't want to either. What does that mean? Lo Rotzu means Lo Lachlitz Lo Liyabim. Then the question is, am I chosen Mitzar Gadol? Why at that point do we return to the eldest brother and tell him you got to do something? We're going to go and force him to do one or the other. In that case, lichbiyeh ledidhu. In that case, you already have the younger brothers. Beis Din is already dealing with them. Why bother Beis Din to go and find this older brother again and bother him and then force him to do something or other? You might as well just at that point to have one of the other brothers. So if we said that Loi Rotza means the elder brother only wanted to do Chalitza, and we're going to say, never mind, we'd rather have somebody do Yibum, and we say Loi Rotza means none of them want to do Yibum either, fine, then it makes sense we go back to the elder brother. Given that nobody's going to be doing Yibum anyway, fine, at least the elder brother might as well be doing Chalitza. But if Loi Rotza and Loi Rotza means nobody wants to do anything, then in that case, then why are we after going back to the older brother? We might as well go back to any of the brothers.
You know, that doesn't make sense with the Russian mission. Mitzvah, the God of Leyabim. It doesn't say that Leyabim, Lo Ratzah,
Well, okay, we could say that. Loirata means he doesn't want to do anything. I mean, the mitzvah of the gadol is to do yibum. Well, there's also, there is a point also the Gemara is going to be discussing, what's the more preferable mitzvah anyway? Is it more preferable to do yibum, or is it more preferable to do chalitza? That's a whole other question we're going to get into soon. Sure, but the question is, we're going to get into soon, when you're doing it, when you're doing l'shem the mitzvah, not l'shem the mitzvah, yeah.
That's the central question.
Anyway, the answer is, given the mitzvah aledi de ramya, no, after all, the mitzvah is really on the eldest brother, therefore, lidi de kaifinen, so therefore, even if you're going to say that it means that loy rotsu means everybody said, I don't want to get involved, we're not going to say we're just going to go bother one of them afterwards. Eventually, we're going to come back to the eldest brother because, after all, the mitzvah is on him, however you look at it.
From where?
That's what we're saying, because the mitzvah is on him, because of Hayah B'chor. So you can't prove anything. So the point is, you can't really prove anything from the wording in the Mishnah. Loi Rotza could mean he didn't want to do Chalitza, but the other one, he didn't want to do Yibum, I mean, but he's willing to do Chalitza, and yet we say you go to all the other brothers to see if any of them are willing to do Yibum, and if not, then you go back to him. Or you could say that it means that he doesn't want to do anything and none of them want to do anything either, but eventually you still come back to him because ultimately the original mitzvah is on him. Let's also consider, the Mishnah continues, Chala b'katan ad sheyagdu, we say if he wants to make it depend on a cotton and says, let's wait until the cotton grows up, ein shomen lo, then we don't pay attention to him, we say the mitzvah's on you. Now, b'yibiyas cotton ad difa, am I ein shomen lo? If you're telling me that the bia of the cotton, according to either of the definitions of cotton, is better, then what do you mean ein shomen lo? Ninter, let's tack a weight, dilma gadol miyavim, because maybe when he's older, when he's over by mitzvah, he'll be able to do a full yibum. Maybe even the cotton, if we say, so again, here we're talking about definitely a cotton below 9. If you're telling me, according to the opinion that bias cotton adifa, that, and here by cotton, again, according to Rashi, cotton over here in this machloikus, bias cotton, does not mean below bar mitzvah, it means a younger brother. If his bia is better, why takana? Say, for example, the older brother has a point, but I don't want to do either chalitza or yibum. Or let's say I only want to do chalitza, fine, but I have a younger brother who's willing to do yibum when he grows up. Wait till he grows up. After all, bias cotton is better.
What's to grow up? Isn't he bar mitzvah already?
We're saying over here that the Mishnah is talking about tala b'kat nachi yagdil. As we're going back and forth over here, we have two different definitions of cotton. In the Mishnah, cotton means below bar mitzvah. In the machloikas over here of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, there's two possibilities what cotton means. It either means a younger brother or it means one who's below bar mitzvah. And soon we're going to have another case over there where cotton means where cotton definitely means a younger brother. Anyway, so in that case, he has a valid point. B.S. cotton is better, so why don't we wait for that cotton? I think my answer is back. Okay, so according to your own logic, what about whether the Mishnah continues? If a gadol ad sheyavim dinas yamein shomen lo, the Mishnah had also said that if he says, but I have an older brother, but he's overseas, why don't you wait until he comes back? And we say we don't pay attention. The next older brother. So you had Reuben, Shimon, and Levi.
The oldest, except the one who's overseas.
Yeah. So why ain't Shimon? I'm mine. Into Dilma Asi v'Chalitz. Why? You could argue the same thing that you should wait because he might come and do Chalitz. So actually, on the side here it says really, and he'll do Yibum. Whatever it is, according to either opinion, the Mishnah is a little shvet. Ella, the reason is Kol Shahuya Mitzvah Loi Mashehinin. The reason is something else. In general, when it comes to doing a mitzvah, you try to do it as soon as possible, even if that means that you're going to be doing it in a less preferable way. So in this case, yes, it's true, the more preferable way would be for the gadol to do yibum,
the original gadol, the actual one
who is overseas now, or according to the other opinion, the better thing would be even for a cotton to do yibum if the gadol is only willing to do chalitza. But if that is going to conflict with doing the mitzvah right away, then we're not going to allow that conflict to happen. We're just going to do the mitzvah right away. By the way, this principle, shahuli mitzvah lema shahinin, comes up in a few other places in halacha also. In Shulchan Aruch, it describes at the beginning of Hilchos Tefillin, we know that you put on your talus before you put on your tefillin. What happens if a person doesn't have a talus, let's say? Should he wait with putting on tefillin until he may get a talus later, or should he just go ahead and put on tefillin, and when he gets a talus, put it on? The Ramah explains that no, go ahead and put on the tefillin. If you get the talus later, you'll put it on. And the Magen Avraham says, we get it from our Gemara over here. Shahu your mitzvah, lemme shenin. You have a chance to do the mitzvah of tefillin. Don't delay it for the sake of the talus. Shahuya means to delay it.
Right.
Yeah. And we don't delay it. On the other hand, there's other cases also. There's cases where we say that the mitzvah itself can be done in a better way. For example, there's the whole idea that really, that usually you should wait with Kiddush Levana until Matzah Shabbos, unless it's late in the first half of the month and it might be cloudy or whatever, because there to do it, then you're doing the mitzvah itself in a better way, and therefore that's preferable. So it goes both ways. There's some cases where we apply the rule Shahuya Mitzvah Lemishahinan, and there's other cases where we say that to do the mitzvah itself or the Hidur mitzvah is better.
When is the Hidur mitzvah?
For example, with Kiddush Levana, where you're doing it with the Shabbos, when you dress in Shabbos clothes and you makabel pnei shchina, yeah.
But usually, it's b'mashayin.
But you, yeah. It's Damri. Then there's another version of this machlokes. B'biyah kula amalek pligin to b'yah katan adifah. If it's a question of that the katan is going to be doing b'yah, then there's no question that takes precedence. Because yibum is better than chalitza. He pligin b'chalitza katan.
According to this.
This is the second version. Ki pligi b'chalitzas katan. The machlokas is as far as a katan doing chalitza. B'hachiz yismar. So then, according to the second version, the machlokas is rather like this: chalitzas katan, b'chalitzas gadol, pligi b'rabbi Yechon, b'rabbi Shimon Levi. Now here we have to be clarified. Here there's no question. Katan means one who's over bar mitzvah, but just as a younger brother, because a boy below bar mitzvah definitely cannot do chalitza. He can do yibum, and we talked about what the possibilities of that are. But he definitely cannot do chalitza until he has state status.
We said that yibum and chalitza always go together.
Generally, yes, but the yibum depends on bia, and the bia of a katan over 9 at least has significance in halacha. As opposed to chalitza, because the chalitza, he has to be an ish. Then, yeah.
Ish means
13.
13.
Well,
it
means Sarah, yeah. Chalitza's cotton, chalitza's gadol. So if you have a choice between a younger brother doing chalitza or an older brother doing chalitza, that's, according to the second version, that's the machlokas. Pligi bar Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Shimon Levi. Chad ama chalitza's gadol adifa. One says it's better for the elder brother to do chalitza. But chad ama ki adadi dinu. And the other one says there's no preference in that case. If it's a matter of doing chalitza, then everybody's on an equal level. Yeah. The yibum, that's what we're saying. Yibum, there's no question. Whoever's willing to do yibum takes precedence.
Chalitza, whoever's more
capable. That's the machlokes. Is it, do we daft the want the gadol or do the man? The one who says the chalitza by the eldest brother is better is because the hamitzvah of the gadol, because we just said the mitzvah is by the gadol. And even though primarily the mitzvah is yibum, nevertheless it also applies to chalitza. The idach, and the other opinion would say, ki amrin mitzvah gadol the inin yibum. When do we say the mitzvah is on the gadol? Only when it comes to yibum. Avala inin chalitza, tadod ininu, but when it comes to chalitza, then there's no preference. So let's analyze this based on our Mishnah. Again, we said that if the Gadol doesn't want to do anything, then we and none of the other brothers do either, then we go back to the Gadol. Again, the question is, it sounds like, again, since the Mishnah had not even mentioned Chalitza, the implication sounds like it means that the brothers don't want to do Yibum, but they're willing to do Chalitza. And yet we say that you go back to the elder brother, which would prove the point that it's still better for the gadol to be doing chalitza. So even though he said I don't want to do chalitza, he said I don't want to do anything. So you go to the younger brothers and they say we don't want to do chalitza or yifah. We don't want to do anything either. So we're saying you go back to the older. So we're assuming that it means that they don't want to do yibum, but they're willing to do chalitza. And yet we're saying no, we still want the older brother to do chalitza. Why? If we take according to the opinion that it's all equal, what's the difference? Yeah. And the answer is loy lachlitz for the avim. No, like we said before, loy rotsu means they don't want to get involved at all. They don't want to do chalitza. They don't want to do yibum. So therefore, they're out of the picture. So therefore, there's no choice. But to go back to the older brother. Okay, again, let's see. The Chabasei Gabi Gadol. Well, in that case, what would be the parallel case by the Gadol? Lo Rotsa Lo Lachlitz Lo Yabim. You're telling me again that it meant the Gadol, that the eldest brother didn't want to do Chalitza or Yibum? Again, the question becomes, Ela Amai Chosun Eto Gadol. So again, he didn't want to do anything. They don't want to do anything either. So again, why are you circulating all the way back to him? Why are you bothering Beis Din to go find him again? To force him. You might as well just force them. They're already right there in Beis Din. You just ask them, do you want to do Chalitza or Yibum? They all said no. You have them right there in front of you in Beis Din. Force them.
That's a case where you still meet the Medina
Siyam. No. Forget about Medina Siyam. No, here we're talking about just they called in Reuben. They said, do you want to do anything? No, I'm not interested. So they call in all the other brothers, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc. Do you want to do anything? They all say no. why should Beis Din have to bother schlepping Reuven back into Beis Din to ask him again, to force him again to do it? You already have Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda there. You just asked them, and they said no. If you're telling me that everybody's chalitza is on an equal level, you might as well just have one of them do it.
Well, we have to say chalitza.
That's why that would prove the point that chalitza is gavul adifa, which is only according to one opinion. And again, the answer is, given the mitzvah, all of Didei Rami, all of Didei Kaifinin. No, but after all, the mitzvah is primarily on him. Yeah. Therefore, if it comes to, if it comes to the point where you're going to have to force somebody, then yes, you should go force him.
And we've proved that point. Both Kibum and Chalitza are the
present. No, so we haven't proved, because again, the Mishnah, again, you could understand the Loi Rotsu and the Loi Rotsu of the Mishnah either way. It could mean that none of them wanted to do Yibum, but they were willing to do Chalitza. Or, and then in that case, we're still saying you go back to the eldest brother because preferably he should still be doing Yibum, he should still be doing Chalitza.
Right.
Or you could say that it means that none of them want to do anything.
Right.
No, so we could say that it means that none of them want to do Yibum but only Chalitza, so therefore we end up going back to the older brother, so he should do Chalitza because his Chalitza is preferable. Or it could mean none of them want to do anything, but still we end up going back to him because ultimately if nobody wants to do anything, then the mitzvah really is primarily on him.
But if one of them is willing to do Chalitza,
then according to that opinion, you would say go ahead, whereas according to the first opinion, you would not. According to the first opinion, you'd say, even though Shimon is willing to do Chalitza, nevertheless, if Reuven said, I don't want to get involved, we'd still go back to him and force him. Tashma, Tanu.
So we're still saying here that even Chalitza is preferable.
We have two different opinions, that's the thing. We're dealing according to two different opinions.
Yeah, but two different opinions. In one case, all the brothers refuse, and the other case, we're saying if they don't refuse, then...
That's what we're saying. We can understand the Mishnah either way.
Right. Yeah. But at the end, we're saying that the older brother has also preference...
No, because it depends what we mean by nobody wanted to. Does it mean nobody wanted to do anything?
Right.
Or does it mean nobody wanted to do Yibum? That's the question.
Nobody wanted to do Yibum.
According to one opinion, we would say fine, whichever brother is willing to do Chalitza is good.
Right.
According to the other opinion, no. We would still go back to the older brother and make him do Chalitza. Tashma, come, let's prove in the next part of the mission. We said that if he says, wait, my older brother is overseas, wait till he comes back, then we say we don't pay attention. If we say that the eldest brother doing chalitza is the most preferable, why would we say we shouldn't pay attention? Nintar, let's wait, because he might come and do chalitza. And again, the Gemara answers back, similar to what we said before, according to your own logic, everybody agrees that the katan, meaning the younger brother, doing yibum is the most preferable, or anybody doing yibum is the most preferable. So if so, what are you telling me when it comes to a katan, and you say a katan meaning a child, and you're saying, Achi Yagdil, he's saying wait till he grows up. Why we say ain't shaman? Like, am I nit beduma gadol miyabim? Why shouldn't we wait until he grows up and can actually do yibum? Inami off the iru miyabma, or he, meaning another one of the brothers might come and do yibum. Not everybody has this gear, so that's why I'm putting it in parenthesis. Again, you have to answer. Ella kol shohu yimitzvah levishahinan. Again, the answer would be that's different. You don't delay the mitzvah. That doesn't prove anything as far as what's preferable. It's true there might be a preference for the eldest brother even to do chalitza, but since the younger brother is.
We don't want to wait.
Then we just go ahead and do that.
So
you could look at it either way, though. You could say that's the point. We still haven't disproved either of these opinions.
But at least in one opinion, not preferable, just we don't want her to wait.
Yeah. So the bottom line is we don't really have, the Gemara leaves it at that. We don't really have a conclusion one way or the other. Now we learn in a Mishnah in Bechoros. Mitzvah Yibum kodemus l'mitzvah chalitza borishoina. Originally, the mitzvah of Yibum came before the mitzvah of chalitza. Shahi miskavnim l'shem mitzvah, because in those times they had in mind when they're doing Yibum, they're doing it for the sake of the mitzvah.
How do you know what's in a person's mind?
In those times, they could assume that it was achshav shem miskavnim l'shem mitzvah. Nowadays, where people don't have in mind to do it for the mitzvah, amru mitzvah chalitza kodemus mitzvah Yibum. So nowadays, they say that mitzvah chalitza comes ahead of mitzvah Yibum.
Why? Because you would have the mitzvah chalitza in mind and not the mitzvah.
No, because according to this way of looking at it, we're saying that you have to be doing it for the sake of the mitzvah. We're going to talk about soon, Abishol's opinion. We'll get back to it soon.
Means
purely for the sake of the mitzvah.
Like
Well, let's say, whatever. No, but you're not doing it, for example, because, as the Gemara is going to say soon, you're not doing it because she's beautiful, or because, right. or because she has money, or because you just you want to be married, or whatever it is. You're doing it purely because, yeah, exactly. Amar Rav ein kofes. So Rav says, in that connection, we don't force. However, we don't force it. Now, what does that mean? So Rashi has a long explanation that says that ein kofin means, even though we're saying nowadays mitzvah chalitza is preferable, if both of them, the Yavam and the Yavama, want to do Yibum, we'll allow them to. We're not going to force them to do chalitza.
And the Torah, she probably has no, she has no opinion.
No, so actually Rashi continues, suppose you have a case where he wants to do Yibum and she doesn't, and as we said on Amud Aleph, for example, she has a valid claim. She has an argument, for example, that he works at a smelly job, or as we said on Amud Aleph, he's a cheresh, or whatever it is. Then we do listen to her. We don't, then what we do is, Rashi says like this. We try to see if we can sort of trick him into doing chalitza. Namely, he's saying, I want to do Yibum. I want to marry her. So you're not going to be able to tell him straight out, do chalitza, and you're not going to be able to marry her. He's not going to listen. What you do is, and we have this later in the Masechta, we tell him, for example, if you do chalitza, you can do chalitza on condition that she'll give you 200 zuz. And then afterwards, she doesn't owe him the 200 zuz. Because they did it only in order to trick him into doing the mitzvah. But in this case, it's not, because, yeah.
But we must not
be
thinking the mitzvah
of Yibum. Okay, but because she doesn't want to be married, you can't force her to, yeah. This is called, we learned in the first parak that we learned from the fact that the Torah puts together the din of Yibum, and right after that, like Fachs and Shogadisha, that you don't muzzle an ox whilst threshing the grain. We learned from that also that we don't muzzle her complaints. If she has a valid complaint against the Yibum, then we don't force her to do Yibum.
If she says she doesn't want, just because she
if she want. Says she just doesn't want, then that's a different question. So Rashi seems to be saying that it doesn't matter. Even if she just says without any good reason at all, we still don't consider her a meredith, a rebellious wife. Tosfos has a long discussion about that actually, and says that if she doesn't have a valid reason, then she doesn't want to. No, valid reason, like a valid reason,
smelly
meaning for
right.
smelly or whatever. But if it's just spam that she just says, I don't feel like it, then maybe we would. Let's put it this way. Tosfos discusses that when we say here ein kofin can mean over here something else. It can mean that we won't force. We don't force them to do chalitza. According to Tosfos, Rav's Ein Kofin is actually referring to the original time, back when people were generally mechavim l'shem shemayim, and therefore Yibum was the more preferable thing. Nevertheless, if somebody wanted to do chalitza, then we wouldn't force them to do yibum. If they wanted, they could still do chalitza. Rashi is saying that it's talking about that we don't force them to do chalitza; we allow them to do yibum nowadays. Tosfos says the other way around. It means that back in those days, we wouldn't force them to do yibum; we would allow them to do chalitza if they wanted.
And that has changed.
So according to Tosfos, nowadays that mitzvah chalitza is koidim, then if they don't, then we don't allow them to do yibum, and if he doesn't want to do chalitza either, then we will force him to do chalitza. There is actually this business about meredes is a little more complicated than that, because actually in Shulchan Aruch what it says is that if she doesn't want, well nowadays, first of all I should mention based on this Tosfos. This ends up being a machlokas rishonim, and actually it seems it goes back to the times of the Gaonim. We'll get to it soon in the Gemara. Whether in fact nowadays yibum chalitza is preferable. This is why we have nowadays the Sfaradish poskim, the Sfaradish rishonim and achronim paskin that mitzvah yibum kodemus even nowadays. Whereas the Ashkenazish poskim, starting with Tosfos over here, hold that not that mitzvah chalitza is kodemus.
Based on what?
Based on our Gemara, as we're going to go back and forth over here through the possibilities about the British Shonan.
So in other words, the Scottish, they say that...
They say you can do Yibum nowadays. No, they say you can do Yibum nowadays. No, so what happens is, according to that, if she doesn't want to do Yibum, according to that, we don't force her into Yibum, fine, but we do consider her a meredes. We consider her a rebellious wife, meaning therefore that the original halacha was that she loses a certain portion of her ksuba, and later on the going made a sakana that eventually that they warn her that she's going to forfeit her whole ksuba, whatever. It's a whole long thing, but yeah. Ultimately, though, yeah, if she doesn't want to do Yibum, then we'll go ahead with Chalitza. So then the question becomes also, does it, on top of that, does Machlokas Apostkim, if suppose that she says, I don't care, I don't need Yibum, I don't need Chalitza, I'll just stay in Aguna, is there still an Inyan that the Chalitza has to be done anyway? And the Zohar actually brings that it's important. If you're not going to do Yibum, then at least you have to do Chalitza. That's the next best thing for the Neshama of the Nifter. So there is that to consider as well. Anyway, so Rav is saying ein kofin, which again, the two possibilities are Rashi says it means that nowadays, if people want to do Yibum, we don't force them to do Chalitza, we allow them to do Yibum. Whereas according to Tosfos, the other way around, we never allow them to do Yibum nowadays. In those days, if somebody wanted to do Chalitza, even though Yibum was preferable, we wouldn't force them to do Yibum. We'd allow them to go ahead and do Chalitza.
Because
in those days, Yibum was preferable.
It was preferable.
Ki also lekameh de Rav, and in fact, when a Yavam or Yavama would come in front of Rav for Yibum or Chalitza, Amalahu, then Rav would tell them, Ibois Chalitz, Ibois Yabim. If you want to do Chalitza, do it. If you want to do Yibum, do it. Bididach Tal Rachmana, because the Torah makes it depend on you. As the Pasuk says, Vim lo yachbet ish, if the man doesn't want. Haim Chafetz, but if he wants to, Ibois Chalitz, Ibois Yabim, then he can do whichever he wants. Again, subject to her approval as well, yeah. After Rav Yehuda Savar Ein Kofin, we also see that Rav Yehuda holds that you don't force them to do one or the other.
They're laughing like Rav, obviously.
Well, what does it mean, Ein Kofin? There's the two possibilities. What Ein Kofin means, whether it means, according to Rashi, that we don't force them to do Chalitza, or whether according to Tosfos, that in those days we didn't force them to do Yibum. Could be, but that's the different opinion. So also Rav Yehuda holds Ein Kofin. Why? Because we see, if we look at the language that Rabbi Yehuda made a takana to write in a get chalitza. A get chalitza is not really a necessary thing. It's more, a get chalitza is basically just a record. It's like a record of what happened in Beis Din that she has the proof that she had chalitza. Nowadays, it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's generally not common to write a get chalitza because usually a chalitza is done with a certain amount of publicity. So everybody knows about it. But in those days, they would write a get chalitza. And the language in it that Rabbi Yehuda said is you write as follows: Eich plonis bas plony akrovata yas plony yavama kadmana levedina. Plonis bas plony brought plony who yavam in front of us the Beis Din. The isht moide inu and we were informed or we recognized them. Da'achor de misnet ma'aben nihu that he is the brother from the father's side of her deceased husband. And so we told him, it's obviously Yabim Yabim. If you want to do Yibum, then go ahead and do it. So we see from that we give him that choice. The Eloi, and if not, if la la raglach dimina, then stick out your right foot to her. And sure enough, he stuck out his right foot to her. V'shara seine ma'al raglohi, she untied his shoe from his foot. V'yakas ban po'i ruka de mischazi l'vedina al hara, and she spit in front of him, spit that landed visibly in front of the Beis Din on the floor. Which is how the Torah says do chalitza. V'Rabchiyah bar Ivya Masayim b'Mishmeder Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabchiyah bar Ivya would add in the name of Rabbi Yehuda that there was more they would write, that they would also write in this shtar, in this get chalitza, Bakrinu Madikasa b'Sefer Araita Demoshe, Dichtiv b'Sefer Araita Demoshe, that we made them say the words that it says in the Torah, that he said that she has to say Mei and Yirami LaHakim LaAchiv, he has to say Lo Ova Yavmi. Etc. Yeah. So we see from this nusach that Rabbi Yehuda made up that we give him the choice. If you want to do Yibum, then do Yibum, and if not, then you'll do Chalitza. So we see it's up to him. So nowadays, like I say, they don't usually write a get Chalitza anyway. But I mean, the Rambam brings this nusach, but you know. It could be that you know. It could be that even when we say that mitzvah chalitza kodemus, there's still you know still as you know as Rashi is saying you know mitzvah chalitza kodemus. But if they really want to do yibum, we're not going to force the issue, according to Rashi. Now we said in this nusach. Let's get to that in a minute. Let's get back to the Bereshona and Ba'achshav in a second. There's one thing about this nusach, one detail in it. We said ishtamo de'inu. We said we were informed, based in rights. We were informed that so and so is her deceased husband's brother. What does that mean? We were informed. Pligi bar Rabacha v'Ravina. Rabacha and Ravina argue. What does it mean? They were informed. How do they have to be informed? Chad amar be'edim. One says they actually have to have edim come and testify to it. The other one says no, even if a relative comes, even if a woman comes, who are normally posoleidos, but in this case it's just a gili milsub alma, it's just stating something which eventually is going to be known anyway, and therefore we accept that kind of thing.
They need to prove that he died.
No, there's not so much they need to prove. No, it's not so much. No, they need to prove that this person is her husband's brother from his father's side, because otherwise they're going to do chalitza and she's going to think that she can go marry whoever she wants, and really no chalitza has been done.
The brother of the...
Yeah. The Hilchasa, and that's the halacha, Giluyim Milsa Ba'almahu, it's just considered, Giluyim Milsa Ba'almahu, it's considered informing them of a fact rather than actual edus, therefore, Afilu Karev, Afilu Isha, therefore it's good enough even a Karev or what.
Common, they say, yes, he is the brother.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's a Tosfos Chadmi Kamai on the side over here says a little bit different. The halacha is, they say, if they just came and like sort of casually informed it to Beis Din, then we'll accept it. But if they're coming at the time of the chalitza, and they're coming along with her, let's say, and saying you should know this person is her brother-in-law, we're not necessarily going to accept that. That because then you have to have then you have to have real edus. If before that they had told the Beis Din that the Beis Din had somehow been made aware that these two people are brothers, then they can rely on that.
Because at the time of chalitza, they would suspect that something is.
No, not necessarily. They suspect, but just at the time you need something more ages because there you're going to actually be doing a meister based on it. Yes, that's the difference.
That's what I'm saying.
Not so much we wouldn't believe them, but at that point you need real ages.
You need real ages.
Yeah, so that's the
rig.
Sometime before, I don't know.
The day before?
I don't know, sometime before the actual thing, yeah. Now, we said, Barishona Shoyim Miskavan of the Shem Mitzvah. We said that originally when people were Mechavan for the sake of the Mitzvah Yibum Kedemus and Mitzvah Chalitza, then the Mitzvah of Yibum comes first. V'achshav Shein Miskavan of the Shem Mitzvah, Amru Mitzvah Yibum Kedemus, Mitzvah Chalitza Kedemus and Mitzvah Yibum. Nowadays, Mitzvah Chalitza comes first. Now, Omer Rami Bachama Omer Yitzchak Chazru Loima Mitzvah Yibum Kedemus Mitzvah Chalitza. The Chachamim later on changed their mind and said that we're back to where Yibum comes ahead of Chalitza. What generations become better? If you're telling me there was a period when Chalitza was better because people are not Mechavim L'Shem Shemayim, what changed? All of a sudden are people frumer? That they're yeah. In general, we say Niskanu Adoris. The answer is no. Originally, when they said that chalitza is preferable, that was according to Abashol. Later on, they decided the halacha according to the Rabbanan. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Abashol Omer, we had this back at the beginning of the Masechta. Hakonis is Yivimke L'Shem Noi, if somebody marries his Yivama because she's beautiful, or L'Shem Shum Ishus, or because he wants to be married, which there's a couple of possibilities what that means. Tosfos just says that he's tired of being single, basically. He wants to be married. Other Mefarshim, I think the Yamshul Shloimeh, says that it means, for example, he wants somebody to help around the house, like a wife would do, whatever it is, anyway.
He already
has
a wife.
If he has a wife, then he has, but yeah. Or for any other reason. It's as if he is involved with an erva. It's as if he's being over on the issur of erva, because after all she's Eishes
Achiv.
Yeah. In my eyes, it's close to that the child from this would be a mamzer. Whereas the Chachamim say no. When the Pasuk says Yavama Yavayala, doesn't matter the intent. Yibum is Yibum.
So that's the kind of
Abba Shaul was. Not a takana. It's his opinion. So Mefarshim argue a lot on whether does Abba Shaul mean that even midrabanan it has to be done l'shem. That even midaraisa it has to be done l'shem shemayim. Or does he just mean midaraisa? It's true. Any kind of Yibum is any kind of Yibum. Midrabanan it has to be done l'shem shemayim. Two different ways of looking at it. What? We have later on in the Masechta, we're going to have that if the Yavam, where we discussed it, we mentioned it briefly, I think, in the second parak, that if the Yavam is Baal Yivimtoi, Ben B'Shoigig, Ben B'Mezig, Ben B'Onus, or whatever, he's still Kainah.
Yeah.
If he has relations with the Yavam, the Shogig, the Onus, the Mezid, whatever, he's still Kona.
Right.
The question is, would Abishol agree to that?
Right.
Or would, if we say that Abishol, if we say that what Abishol is saying is on a Daraisa level, then no, he would disagree with that Mishnah. If we say that he agrees with Daraisa, he is Kona. If we say Midaraisa, he is Kona, but it's only Midrabanan that it should be, then okay, you know, it's Kona, but yeah.
But now, better point, if we keep the opinion of Abishol that it has to be done in Shem Shemayim, the children are not considered mamzerim if it's not.
They're not actually considered mamzerim. He says v'korev ani ve'ein ali et avad mamzer. It's almost like the child is a mamzer. Yeah. Now this we were mentioning before the machlokas of Rashi and Tosfos, which is actually machlokas between, for example, the Rif and the Rambam versus Tosfos. Whether nowadays mitzvah yibum is preferable or mitzvah chalitza is preferable. Basically, that comes down to, we're saying that they went back and forth between Abishol and the Chachamim. Ultimately, who is the halacha like? Is the halacha like the Chachamim? Then yibum is preferable even nowadays, because it doesn't matter. You don't have to do it. The Shem Shemayim. And that's how the Sfaradish poskim hold. Whereas the Ashkenazish poskim hold like Tosfos, who in turn holds that the halacha is like Abishol. Yibum has to be done the Shem Shemayim, or else it's not really good.
That's why
Chalitza is preferable, and that's why Ashkenazi Shaposkim do not allow Chalitza except in really rare cases.
So
I've read actually a case where the Kozhin of the Magid one time, the Yavam was a Cheresh, and apparently the Yavama did want to marry him, and he allowed Yibum to be done because a Cheresh can't do Chalitza, so she would have been stuck otherwise.
So if she's a Sadish woman or vice versa, and he's Ashkenaz or vice versa.
Generally, a woman follows her husband's menhagim, so I guess it would be whatever her first husband was. I don't know. It may also depend just in front of which base it's being done, you know. Mam Tana Lahada Tana Rabbanan. Which is the Tana? We have this machlokas of the Chachamim and Abishol. Which Tana is it that teaches what we learn in a Braisa as follows? The pasuk is Yavama Yavo Yaleh Mitzvah, where the Yavam should have relations with her. That's a mitzvah, meaning that it's more of a mitzvah than chalitza. Shebetchila Haisa Ala Bechlal Hefter, because originally, when you get down to it, this woman originally was completely mutter to him before she ever married his brother. He could have married her. There was nothing stopping him. Nesra. Then she became Osir when she married his brothers, V'chazir V'hutra, and then she became Mutter. Yachol Tachto L'Heter HaRishon, you would think that she returns to her original Heter. Tamad Lema Yavama Yavay Alea Mitzvah. Therefore, it says that Yavama Yavay Alea, meaning that it's a mitzvah. So, Man Tana, which Tana is it? Is this Braisa according to Abishol or according to the Chachamim? Amar Rebbe Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Abisholi. This Braisa would be according to Abishol. V'hachikama, what it means is like this, Yavama Yavay Alea Mitzvah. Meaning that it's a mitzvah for the Yavam to be doing Yivam. Shebetchila haisal b'chal hetter, that's what we're saying, because originally she was hetter to him. But what does it mean b'chal hetter? It didn't matter what intentions he had when he married her. Rotzel l'shem noy kainza, if he wanted to marry her because she's beautiful, then that was okay. Rotzel l'shem ishus kainza, if he wanted to marry her just because he's tired of being single, then he could do that.
Not according to Abishol.
No, this is according to Abishol. Originally, before she ever married his brother, she would have been mutter to him in any of these
originally,
ways. Yeah. Nesra, then she became Osir,
right,
to marry him at all. Chazra b'hutra, and then she becomes mutter because the brother died. Yachol taksala teira rishin, you would think that she returns to her original heter, meaning that he should be able to marry her for her beauty or whatever. No, tabat lama yavama yavay alea means davka l'mitzvah. He can only be doing it for the mitzvah. That's what Abishol is saying. As opposed, Rava Amar Afilu Tamei Rabbanan. Rava says no. You could say that the Braita is according to the Rabbanan as well. V'hachkama, we would understand the Braita as follows: Yivama Yavay Alea Mitzvah, meaning Shebetchila Haisa B'chal Heter. Originally, B'chal she was mutter. Forget about intentions. She was mutter. Period. Ratza Kansa, Ratza Ena Kansa. He could have married her. He didn't marry. He could have not married her. Nesra, then she became Osir from marrying his brother. Chazir B'chutra, then she became mutter again. Yachol Takta La'Tera Rishon. You would think that she returns to her original heter, not like Abishol is saying that it depends on the intent now, but returns to the original heter, meaning rotza kainza, rotza ena kainza, that if he wants, he can marry her, and if he doesn't want her, he doesn't have to marry her. Which the Gemara interjects before we finish. What do you mean rotza ena kainza? Ha'gidabe. She's tied to him. She has a zika. What is she supposed to go out and marry without anything at all? Chalitza or yibum? We know that she's not allowed to. Ela ema rotza kainza, rotza chalitza. Okay, so you would think maybe it means that if he wants, he can marry her, and if he wants, he can do chalitza. No, the Chachamim are saying that since Yibum is preferable, Yavama Yavay Alea, the ideal mitzvah is that Yavay Alea. It's not like before where he was completely free to choose whatever he wants. Here, the preferable thing to do would be to marry her. So the Braita could still go according to the Chachamim.
But it's got nothing to do with intent. It doesn't make any difference.
According to the Chachamim, intent doesn't matter.
Right.
according to the Chachamim, intent doesn't matter. Only according to Abba Shola does.
Not initially, but after she...
However, then the Gemara asks, Eimer Reisha, okay, if you're going to understand the Braisa that way, let's consider the earlier part of the Braisa. The same Braisa begins by mentioning a similar case. The pasuk says Matzis Te'achol B'Makom Kadosh about the leftovers of a korban mincha after you take off the korban, that the korbanim eat the rest of it in a makom kadosh is mitzvah. That's a mitzvah for the korbanim to eat it. Shabatchila Haisa Al V'Chlal Hester, because again originally this flour would have been mutter to eat. Nesra, then it became osir because it became hektish. V'Chazir Mutter, and then it became mutter when the koymet was brought. Yachol tachto la'teira rishon, you would think it returned to its original heter. Tamud lima matzis te'achav makom kadosh mitzvah. So no, it has to be eaten as matzis, meaning not chomet, in the azara, and that's a mitzvah. So bishleim l'rava. So according to Rava's explanation that the second part of the braisa about the yivama goes according to the chachamim. Then the Reisha also, Dama Hamani Rabbanani, Hacha Hachikama, then the first part of the Braisa we would also understand it similarly. That it, we're not talking about intent, we're talking about the actual, you have a choice to eat it or not. Namely, Matzah Ta'achab Makam Kaddish Mitzvah, that it's a mitzvah to eat the Mincha of Makam Kaddish, Shabbat Chila Haisab Olav Achal Hatter, because originally you could have chosen, you had a complete choice on it, Ratza Oichla, Ratza Eina Oichla. If you wanted, you could eat it, but you didn't have to, there was no particular mitzvah to or not to eat it. Nasra Chazer V'Hutra, then it became Osir and became Mutter again, Yachal Tachza Teira Rishon, so you would think it returns to its original Hatter in the sense, Ratza Oichla, Ratza Eina Oichla, that if he wants, he can eat it, and if he doesn't want, he doesn't have to eat it. And the Gemara interjects again, wait a minute, what do you mean, Ratza Eina Oichla? Well, see, the Pasuk says, V'Ochlo Oisim Asher Kukwa Behem. The Pasuk specifically says that the Koyanim are supposed to eat it. Melamachak Koyanim Oislam Abayla Miskaprim. We learn from that that Koyanim eats the Mincha, and the owner gains their Kapara.
Even if they don't want.
Ella, rata hu oichol, rata kain acha oichol. Okay, so you might, let's change that. What it means is you would think that still he has a choice whether to eat it. As long as some kain eats it, it doesn't matter whether he eats it or another kain. You would think he has that choice. Tamad loy mamasas ta'achab makam kadosh mitzvah. No, therefore we're saying that now that it became osir and became mutter again, he has a specific mitzvah to eat it. So that's similar to Rava's explanation of the part about the Yavama, that at first he had the choice whether to marry her or not. It was completely his choice. Now, preferably, he's supposed to marry her, just like here. Preferably, he's supposed to eat the mincha himself rather than giving it to another kohen.
So according to
Rava, we understand both parts of the braisa very well. But let's consider according to Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Drama Abba Sholhi, which says that the part of the braisa about the Yavama is according to Abba Shol, that it's a matter of intent, that originally you could have married her with whatever intent, and now when she becomes a Yavama, you can only be doing it the Shem Shemayim. The question is, what kind of two ways are they doing it over here? That we're saying that you can only do it one way. It can't just mean that you have to do it for the sake of the mitzvah, because mitzvah ain't tzrichas kavana. If you do a mitzvah without having the kavana, you're still mekayim the mitzvah. And one thing is, well, so yibum is a special case. Abba Shaul is saying because some mafarshim explained, because in the case of yibum, you do have after all an ishtu eshes ach, which is being mutter specifically for this purpose. The difference is actually it's a difference between dechuya and hutra that we talked about before. What the Gemara effectively is saying over here is according to Abba Shaul, by the Yavama, by Yibum, it's only Dechuya. The issue of Eshes Ach is only Dechuya. So when are we Doiche it, it still exists. But you're Doiche it when he's doing it L'Shem Shemayim. As opposed to by the Mincha, there's no Dechuya, it's Hutra. The Kohen is completely allowed to eat the Mincha. So he doesn't specifically have to be eating it L'Shem Shemayim. Other Mepharshim also point out there's a Gavra versus Chesta issue over here. Yavama is more of a Gavra thing. He has a mitzvah to do Yibum. She has a mitzvah to be Nisyabim or Nechlat. Whereas with the mincha, it's more of a chesed thing. The mincha has to be eaten, so that his intent doesn't matter so much. So what kind of tshrei gavni, according to that understanding, what would the braisa be implying? There's a certain way in which you can't eat the mincha, Are you telling me that maybe you would think that there's two ways of eating it? You could be eating it with an appetite, or you could be eating it when you're overstuffed. No good. Achila gasa mishma achila. Achila gasa is that he's not even considered eating. It's not considered achila.
For everything.
If a person eats on Yom Kippur where a person's already overstuffed and then they eat more, where they're not gaining any benefit from the food, then he's not over on loisa una. No, on Yom Kippur itself. No, he ate a huge meal out of Yom Kippur.
Right.
Now Yom Kippur, he's feeling really overstuffed, and at that point he eats something. He's not over. He's not over, because that's not considered eating. So that's achila gasa. So by the same token over here, what do you mean? The braisa is implying that you would think maybe he would be allowed to eat at achila gasa. If he eats it at achila gasa, that's not even considered eating. There's no question. You don't have to be lying to that. Ella, let's try another possibility. Rata maksa oichol, rata chomets oichol. Are you telling me maybe, according to Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi's understanding, that it would mean you have a choice whether to eat this mincha as masa or as chomets? Still no good. The pasuk says you should, their portion should not be baked as chametz. What's it mean? It doesn't just mean that the mincha itself, before the chametz has been taken, can't be made chametz. Even after they've taken their portion and now they're baking it in order to eat it, they can't make a chametz. So it can't mean that either. Ella, no. What it means is like this. Rata matza oichla, rata chalut oichla. You would think that he has a choice of eating it as plain matzah or as cholot. Cholot means that you take the flour and you jump it into boiling hot water, which prevents it from ever becoming chametz. Technically, we learned in Pesachim, you would be allowed to do that actually with flour before Pesach, and then you'd be allowed to make flour products with it on Pesach. In practice, already in the times of the Goyim, they asked it because people are not so expert at getting the water hot enough, and the flour is likely to become chametz. But technically, it would be possible. Yeah. So you would the question
would not be,
and it would not be chametz. But the question still is, hi cholot hechidami. What kind of cholot are we talking about over here? Im masahi ha masahi. If you did a proper chalita and now it's masah, it can't become chametz. Well, then that's masah. The eloi masahi. And if it's not masah, if you didn't do the chalita properly and became chametz, well, masah samarachmana. The Torah says the mincha has to be eaten as masahs. So again, why would we think we need a miut to tell us that you can't eat it cholot? Cholot is just, it's one or the other. It's either chametz or masah. No, you could still answer that no, it was a proper chalita. It really is matzah in the sense that it can never become chametz. But you would think maybe the pasuk is repeating that it has to be eaten, that the pasuk is repeating the word, the same matzah, and also implying that it can't be chalut, to say la'akiv, that to be ma'akiv, that preferably you should not do it that way. Because usually we have a rule in Korbanos, whenever the Torah says something twice, it means la'akiv. Over here, actually, Mephoshim say that la'akiv doesn't, Tosfos says over here, la'akiv doesn't literally mean to say that we pass all the Korban, but just that the la'akiv in the sense that it's not the right way to do it. It's not the correct way. Ella, Okay, so yes, you could say then that that's what the braisa means. The braisa is saying you would think that having once it became mutter again, you can eat it as masa or as cholot, as you prefer. And the answer is no, you can only eat it as, you're only supposed to eat it as masa. I think Gemara just finish it.
We derive from that.
We derive, so therefore we can understand by the same token when it comes to the Yavama, it's not a question of whether you have a choice of marrying her or not, but rather your intention. A similar kind of thing. And the Gemara just finishes off. Yeah. The Gemara just finishes off. Okay, for what's the relevance in halacha then of saying that cholot is considered matzah? And the answer is, that a person can be yotze with if he took flour and was cholot it and then used it to bake matzah, that's fine. Even though he did chalitza in the first place, But once he baked it in a bread, lechem oni karina be, you can still consider it lechem oni, it can still be considered bread. And therefore,
put it in the hot water and then he took it out?
Yeah.
And then he put it in a...
And then he baked it, and then he made a regular dough out of it and baked it. That's what we're saying. When it comes to the mincha, the pasuk is implying that you should not do that, you should eat it as proper matzah rather than cholot. But nevertheless, the cholot in and of itself is considered a species of matzah. Which Marshall explains, what the Gemara is saying basically is, this proves the point that we were saying that cholot is considered matzah. Otherwise, we might have said that maybe cholot itself is not considered matzah. But since we see your yotze with it on Pesach, then we see it really can be considered a species of matzah. Don't try Pesach time.